Welcome to the midday for a Tuesday. I'm Norman Gilliland here in our Buck studio. That means more live music for this hour, and it's going to be exciting stuff because my guest is Sam Hong. He's the 2012 Piano Arts Competition winner, and just from what I've seen so far in his warming up, it's going to be sometimes pleasantly lyrical and sometimes jaw-dropping, I think, for particularly the non-pianist. Welcome to the midday.
Thank you so very much. I'm so happy to be here.
You have spent a lot of time in Texas, I gather.
I've been living in Texas, yes, for the past 6-7 years.
And you went to TCU, I guess, also,
yes, that's right.
Is that what got you into Texas? But I thought I saw somewhere that you've been playing there since you were 9 or something.
I have been living in Texas since I was 8 years old. At that time, that was with my parents, and my family lived there altogether. My brother also lived there, and I had my piano teacher, went to fourth grade. And when my parents moved away, we couldn't find a good piano teacher, and that was in California, in Orange County. And so my teacher actually wrote from Texas and said, hey, how'd you like to live with us?
Really?
And I was 11 then, not knowing anything, and I just very happily said, sure, that sounds great. And that's how I started living with my teacher.
Well, there's a long tradition of that.
Yes.
Like the great pianist Johann Nepomuk Hummel lived with Mozart at the age of 7 and took lessons from him. And so that can be some of the best learning you can do, I would think.
It's very stressful, but at the same time, it's really rewarding to just have a mentor there for you all the time. And now I'm living away from him. I'm going off to school. I'm in Baltimore, Maryland, going to the Peabody Institute at Johns Hopkins.
One of the great ones.
And my teacher's Leon Fleischer there. And he's
one of the great ones
amazing.
Again.
Amazing. But I only see him once a week, and I'm used to seeing my teacher every day for dinner. And so it's quite a different dynamic. But I am feeling connected. Here in Madison, actually, my brother, who used to live with me in Texas, my brother works in Madison now. He's in computers and working for Epic Healthcare. And so it's kind of a funny reunion we have today.
And is he a musician also?
He plays a hobby, only hobbyist violinist.
Well, there's nothing wrong with that. Now, you have quite a bit of music to pack into this hour, which is a blessing for us, but that means we need to get to it pretty quickly. And first, you have one of these, I guess you'd call it a favorite among pianists. Some of them aspire to be able to play it, and others make quite the piece of Ravel's Sonatine.
Yes. Ravel's Sonatine is one of those pieces. You think it's going to be a very small piece, but actually it's quite a significant work.
And here we go. 3 short movements that add up to the Sonatine.
Thank you.
piece. And you get a pretty good idea of why the French, you know, liked jazz so much, too. All those wonderful bluesy chords in there mixed in with the virtuosity of the
sixteen. It's quite a similar style. It's remarkable.
Yeah. And probably, I personally don't usually think of virtuosity and impressionism, you know, at the same time. But I would say that is a prime example of the two coinciding.
Yes, absolutely. Hope you enjoyed.
Very much. And I'm sure everyone hearing it did, too. My guest today is Sam Hong. This is The Midday coming to you live from our Buck studio. We'll have more for the balance of the hour. We'll be hearing the likes of Brahms and Chopin before 1 o'clock. And, of course, we'll have the quiz question in about 10 minutes. All of that yet to come here on Wisconsin Public Radio. Back now with Sam Hong, the 2012 Piano Arts Competition winner, a winner of many other accolades as well. And I should ask you quickly about the competition and the status of it this year before we hear some Brahms.
Right now, we have passed the semifinal round, and all that's left is the final round, which will be in Eline Hall in Milwaukee at the Marcus Center. And that'll be with the Milwaukee Symphony Orchestra and three of the best pianists chosen.
And it's tradition for previous winners to be on hand for the competition. And what role do you play there?
I played the opening concert for the competition at the very beginning of all the ceremonies, and I've been attending just to be a part and be supportive.
And be supportive, that's good. And not intimidating.
Hopefully not at all.
Well, now we promised some Brahms. Some of the last things that Brahms wrote were just called four pieces, and I think each one is a different, slightly different genre, though. Is that right?
Yes. The sound is quite different, and I think it covers a big gamut of emotions, the first one being a very lonely and despairing kind of feeling, the second one being a little bit lighter, but still in that minus of emotions. The third one finds a kind of playfulness, and the last one is very resolute and strong. And actually, it starts in the major key and ends in the minor key, which is strange in a triumphant way, but I think it's kind of triumphing over the darknesses of the world.
Well, that occasionally happens in classical music, too.
It does.
Well, let's hear, shall we hear the first two of them, then?
Yes,
and,
good.
And then we'll have our quiz question and hear the other two.
Thank you.
The verse 2 of the Opus 119 set of four pieces by Johannes Brahms. And that first one, Sam, in particular, struck me as just very modern, you know, cutting edge for 1890 or so.
Some of the harmonies in there are just really remarkable and not very typical.
Remind me almost of, the cabaret songs that you'd be hearing maybe 10, 15 years later in Germany.
Absolutely.
We're going to be hearing the other two in just a moment, and Chopin also, but first we have this 12:30 quiz question to get to. We'll let Sam take a breather there while we're doing that. First, we review yesterday's question, which was, best known for writings based in a fictional county, this author turned down a dinner invitation from the Kennedy White House, saying that it was just a long way to go simply to eat. And who was that? Any guesses from our audience? William Faulkner. William Faulkner turned down the dinner invitation. And apparently he was the only Nobel laureate to do so of all those who have been invited over the years. That was yesterday's question. Here's today's. A long-established sign of devotion recently impeded pedestrian traffic in what city? Strange question, but all you have to do is come up with the name of a city and you'll perhaps get it. A long-established sign of devotion, a tradition, recently impeded pedestrian traffic in what city? What city is that? You can identify it in the next 25 minutes. Get it right. You might win the prize today. And you can email your answer to us at midday@wpr.org. Peter Bryant will be fielding your emails today. Or you can call 1-800-442-7106 and give your answer to Tina. And we'll see who wins that prize just before 1 o'clock, as usual today. And now, are you ready for a couple more of those, Sam?
I sure am.
The last two. And what did you tell us about the last two in terms of their overall effect?
Well, the first one is a lot more playful and very short, capricious. And the last one is resolute, I think would be a good word to describe it.
Here we go. Thank you. Wow, quite the dose of Brahms there. And you get, as you said, Sam, quite a bit of variety in those four late pieces from that wonderfully sunny, capricious number three to this, which sounds like it could be the finale for a symphony.
Brahms is kind of big like that. And even within the pieces, there's quite a bit of variety in the characters.
Well, we're going to repeat our 12:30 quiz question right after this here on Wisconsin Public Radio. Okay, here we go. Back to repeat today's 12:30 quiz question. And here it is. Got a little consultation going on there in the background, but that's okay. That's just part of live radio. Here's our quiz question for today, again. A long-established sign of devotion recently impeded pedestrian traffic in what city? Let's go through that again. A long-established sign of devotion recently impeded pedestrian traffic in what city? And this sign of devotion seems to be cropping up in other cities as well. But you name the one where it recently became an issue. And you might win the prize today. You can email your answer to us in the next 15 minutes at midday at WPR.org. Or you can phone 1-800-442-7106 and give your answer to Tina. And we'll see who wins our prize from among all of our correct respondents. At the piano here is Sam Hong, and so far he has played the Ravel Sonatine and those four fabulous pieces by Johannes Brahms, some of the last things that Brahms wrote. There was a pianist, Brahms, with a very interesting career trajectory, wasn't it?
Yes.
He started out playing as a teenager in these rather unsavory venues, and later on, really kind of downplayed his whole abilities as a pianist.
Right, yes, you're exactly right. The three huge piano sonatas are all within Opus 10. And after that, he focused on symphonies and smaller scale piano pieces like the ones I've played for you, which don't seem very small scale at all.
Short, but intense.
Yes, exactly.
How long, this is a question you probably get asked in one form or another all the time. I'm sure a lot of pianists do. But can you give us a sense, say, of the pieces that you just played, the Brahms pieces? How long does it take you to just get those into your fingers, as they say? Because it's not apparent to people who can't be in the studio with us that, of course, you're playing all this from memory.
Yes, I am. You better believe it.
Yeah, it's the only way to go, really, isn't it? So something like, that piece that we just heard, the fourth piece, how long would it take to just get that so it's, as they say, in your fingers?
Well, I'm a slow learner. So getting it into my fingers would be 3 weeks. But getting it into your head and your heart, I guess, so to speak, that's what takes the longest time. And that's a process that takes forever.
Because you're constantly adjusting what comes out, I assume. I mean,
that's
it's,
right.
In other words, as they say, each performance is like a snapshot of you, the performer, at that particular moment in time.
Well, that's what makes classical music so difficult, is that we're not competing against getting the right notes. We're not competing against anyone else, mm-hmm. but we're trying to pursue this perfection which doesn't exist.
Yes, and in fact, I remember talking a long time ago with somebody about this, a conductor, composer, Gunther Schuller, and he said you could never repeat the performance exactly as it was, even if you wanted to.
No, you could not.
There are just too many variables, even for a soloist.
And depending on the place you're playing and the circumstances, everything is going to be different. That's the beauty of live.
quote of the day. Well, now... about this Chopin, this is not exactly a pushover. This took more than 3 weeks, I'm guessing, to get in your head.
I think so. I've been playing it for quite a while. I originally performed it in 2011.
And a scherzo, by the time we get to Chopin, no longer means a joke as it did back in Haydn's day. This is something else entirely. It seems to me the title is almost meaningless.
This is definitely no joke.
Yeah.
But there are some humorous elements. Like rapid changes in dynamics. First it'll start super soft and then suddenly, bang! Those are the kind of things Chopin uses.
And Chopin was once described by John Field, a contemporary, as a sick room pianist, but I don't think he heard him playing this piece.
No, I don't think so.
This is the Scherzo No. 2 in B-flat minor.
Thank you.
Go ahead. You can applaud for that. Hard to hold it back. That was the Scherzo number 2 in B-flat minor by Frédéric Chopin, with all those different things going on in there. Pianist Sam Hong live in our Buck studio today for the midday.
It's been such a pleasure. Thank you.
Wow. And yeah, certainly a pleasure for us too, I have to say. Now, is that a piece that you worked on with Leon Fleischer? If not, what are you working on with him at Peabody?
I sure did work on that with Leon Fleischer. But I've worked on so many things with him, it's great, because he doesn't want to hear the same piece twice. He says, "Didn't you get enough the first time?" So I have had the pleasure of working on so many different pieces with him.
And so what's next in your trajectory here, Sam?
I'll continue my studies at Johns Hopkins, and we'll be working towards completing a master's degree.
And so are you thinking teaching, you're thinking performance, or is it both?
All of the above.
All of the above. And so is that also tied you, through the summer? Is that something you do for a calendar year, or is there a change of pace somewhere in there?
No, there's never a break. We're 24/7, 365 is a musician's job.
So what's the next piece you're working on?
I'm working on quite a few concertos, so I'll probably be doing Beethoven's 4th concerto next.
And Peabody, I assume, has an orchestra, or you work with the Baltimore Symphony, or who do you play that with?
Yes, Peabody has 3 orchestras, actually.
plenty of material there to work with.
There sure is.
Well, it's been a great pleasure having you with us, and I hope you'll come back.
Thanks so much, Norman.
And in the meantime, you'll be in Milwaukee for the next couple of days with that 2014 Piano Arts Competition.
Yes, the finals of the Piano Arts Competition will be tomorrow night at Eline Hall at the Marcus Center in Milwaukee.
Well, then we'll look forward to hearing more about that, too. Okay, well, can't get to much. We'll let the piano cool off a little bit. And I hope you get the rest of the day off. You certainly earned it by now. Now to the results of our 12:30 quiz question. The question today: a long-established sign of devotion recently impeded pedestrian traffic in what city? Anybody want to guess? We're talking about, you know, the city of love, perhaps? Reno. Well, that's an interesting idea. It's actually Paris. Paris, and it's the Pont des Arts that crosses the Seine River, and the tradition for a long time, apparently 100 years or more, has been to take a padlock and put the name of yourself and your beloved on there and lock it to the bridge. But there's so many on there now that the bridge is actually starting to buckle, and a whole bunch of them sort of collapsed, and they had to close the bridge to pedestrian traffic for a day just recently. I'm not sure what the solution to all that is. But Paris is the answer. Our winner today is Mike C. of Janesville, and we're going to send you a generous coffee sampler from Steep & Brew if you will call back or email back with your address. Thanks to our engineer, Brittany True, and to Peter Bryant, and also to Tina Hauser. Next up, more music with Laurie here on WPR.